everybody. What's going on? Welcome back to the Midnight Terrors podcast. My name is Kevin, one of your co-hosts for this episode, as always, and I am here with Roy R. Jacob Honeybrook. What is up, brother?
What's up, Kevin? How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. How are you?
I actually just woke up.
Wow.
Hey, can I give you a quick recap of the Bookstagram Beyondathon that I was a part of?
Please.
Man, so this was awesome. It was a, he called it a l virtual literary book tour, right? So I didn't know what I was getting into when I was signing up for this. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I'd never done one of these. But man, oh, by the way, it was organized by Alex Hartwell, who's another horror author, so
Shout
check his
out.
stuff out. Yeah, I read one of his books, Death's Perfume. Like, man, he made necrophilia sound really hot. And
You know, Roy, whenever we do these episodes, there's always at least usually just one thing that you say that I feel like leaves me speechless, and that was it for this episode.
it was his writing style, man. The way he described this, I was like, damn, that's oof, getting steamy in here. But Alex Hartwell, he organized this whole Bookstagram Beyondathon, and it brought horror, fantasy, sci-fi, speculative fiction authors together with readers. So, man, it was crazy because I feel like I've connected with a lot of people in the horror community, but not necessarily as many in the literary community. So this was an awesome opportunity to have, bigger name book reviewers check out my work and review it, and to see the outpouring of support was crazy. I would wake up every day to, like, dude, no lie, like 100 notifications that I would just have to, like, scroll through to get to, like, the first one. So it was just wild to see all of that. So we'd submitted our manuscripts, and then the book reviewers would read them and review them. And man, just to see that was mind-blowing, really, because I'm just like, I still feel like a Philly schmuck that writes shit in my apartment. But yeah, overall, awesome time. So huge thank you to Alex and all the other authors and all the book reviewers for all the time and effort they put into it, because it was a memorable event for sure.
Very, very cool, man. Yeah, that's awesome. And a very good follow-up to our episode with Viggy on religious horror, which as I'm recording this is still unnamed. So hopefully I came up with a clever name by the time it drops. But that's really cool to see the community going on there, you know, and just a lot of people coming together to support each other. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really glad I agreed to be a part of it. Like, what an experience. Really awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, congrats on that.
Thank you.
And I definitely hope to see that continue. And yeah, a lot of good stuff going on. And I'm not sure if what we're doing tonight is one of them based off of some hints you gave me. 'Cause we're here to talk about a movie. This circled back around to me for a movie pick. And to be honest, I don't remember how we came to this conclusion because we were supposed to do this like a week ago and we had to reschedule. But we are here talking about Hatchet from, I get confused because I saw both 2006 and 2007 on there.
It had its festival run in 06, and it had a minor theatrical release and its home video release in 07.
Okay, so I'll just say 2007. So yeah, Hatchet from 2007 is what we're talking about today. This was my pick, and I'm kind of again surprised that this one took so long to get to, because this is again not something I put in my top tier of horror movies that I go to, but this is definitely a favorite of mine. This is one of my favorite franchises, actually.
You know what this movie always threw me for a loop on? Did you ever read that book called Hatchet in, like, elementary school?
I did not. Is that the one where like a dude crashes in a plane or something?
Yeah, this kid, like you said, there's a plane crash and it's him surviving in the wilderness until anybody can come rescue him.
Wait
So
a
when I saw
minute.
that.
Did I read that? I don't know if it was elementary school, but I remember that book as I just listed the description. Maybe I did read that, but I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, it's a survival story, and I believe it's written for young adults, but I always knew of that one. So when I saw there was a movie called Hatchet, I'm like, wait, is that the one based on the kid? Like, that's not a
Oh,
horror story.
wow, that's funny. Yeah, dude, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
I know.
I probably read that in like sixth grade, honestly. Can you hear
Yeah,
me
that's
okay?
around
My
the time I
microphone
did.
is just sounds quiet in my ear.
No, I can hear you fine.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna just up my microphone just a little bit just in case. Microphone, microphone, microphone. Cool. All right.
Nice stall
But
tactic.
yeah, right. Dead air, man, not my friend. Yeah, so no, this is the little cult classic slasher film from 2007. And yeah, this is one I've gone back to a lot. But I want to ask you first, Roy, your history with Hatchet, where I know you were familiar with it, but when did you see this?
I want to say that I first saw it when my high school friends and I rented it from a video store, probably Family Video, back in good old Altoona, Pennsylvania. And just throughout the years, this thing's been out almost 20 years now, I'd seen it probably, I don't know, confidently I'd say I'd already seen it twice, possibly three times. So while I was familiar with it, like, it's not one of those ones that really stuck with me. So I had to go back and rewatch it for sure.
I gotcha. And then I mentioned this off air, but I first saw this on Halloween 2013. This is a very distinct memory for me. I used to have a buddy back from my college days. Him and his wife were always wanting to do like a movie night together with me, and we finally got the chance to do it, and they invited me over to their house, and we were like, oh, we'll watch a movie. And they asked what I wanted to watch, and I said, oh, I don't know, you guys invited me, I'll watch whatever. And they put on Hatchet, which I actually had forgotten that this movie is kind of a Halloween movie, so it's actually very fitting that I watched this on Halloween. And that was my first watch, and then after that I really got into this franchise. I watched the sequels pretty much immediately as soon as I could after watching the first one. And yeah, I've just gone back to this franchise a lot. Silver Scream Con 2023, I went up to Boston with Mama Midnight to go to Ice Nine Kills' con, and Adam Green, the writer director of Hatchet, was there.
Oh, cool.
And so I got to meet him and talk to him about the series, as well as the movie that Zach really loves of his that we discussed, Frozen. And
Oh, yeah.
I actually have a signed Victor Crowley action figure from Adam Green, so it's pretty awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, man.
What did he say anything in particular that stuck out to you about this movie or this franchise?
Not so much about this franchise. I just talked to him about his filmmaking, and I was talking about how I liked Hatchet, and it was one of my favorites, and he was very happy to hear that. And then I was pointing out the Frozen Blu-rays on his table, and I was like, oh yeah, my buddy that I podcast with is like a huge fan of that movie. And he's like, fun fact, I actually think that's my best movie.
Interesting.
So that kind of stuck with me, which is pretty cool. But yeah, Adam Green, super, super cool dude, super good writer director. And yeah.
Sounds like a good experience for you.
Yeah, man. So yeah, we're obviously gonna do our thing with diving into this movie, but Roy, what can you tell us about production notes for Hatchet?
Oh man, I have a lot of production notes. I actually had more fun with these than the actual movie.
Oh no. All right, well, let it roll, brother.
All right, so the original story for Hatchet was actually thought of when Adam Green was a kid at a summer camp, and there was this weird cabin there, and the counselors would tell the kids that if they went near it, this guy called Hatchet Face would come out and attack them, I guess. So the idea for these movies started way back, in the 80s whenever he was a kid, and they just stuck with him. So that, fable, I guess you would say, or camp tale, stuck with him all those years, and he used that when he created the, what's the name of this movie? Hatchet franchise. There we go.
Oh, that's a great
Nothing
sign
like being a goddamn professional.
you can't remember the name of the movie. But yeah, no, that's cool. I like that storytelling device in horror movies. We don't see a lot of it, but sort of the urban legend campfire tale storytelling devices where there's like a an urban legend behind it that kind of sets up the movie. Yeah, I love that stuff. So that's really cool. And I think the fact that he carried that idea with him for so long too, for like 20 years, and then actually got it made into a movie is dedication. So that's awesome.
Yeah, must have really messed him up if he never forgot it. All right, so this was shot in 2005. It had a budget of $1.5 million. It was shopped around to festivals in 06, like I mentioned. It had a limited theatrical release in 07, and it made $200,000 at the box office. So, I mean, what can you expect from a limited release? And then this was like really the big thing. When it was released to home video on DVD at the end of 2007, it made $6 million off movie rentals and $8 million off purchases. So I kind of like the story of this one because it shows sometimes it takes a little while for something to be successful. It wasn't a hit right off the bat. It took, what, the festivals, then the theatrical release, then finally the home video before people started to latch on to this one.
Yeah, that is very cool. And I don't know, man. I honestly don't remember hearing anything about this movie when it came out. I was definitely into horror by that point, but I don't remember hearing anything about this. Seems like it would have been something that would have played like this was like during my hardcore wrestling days was 2007.
Nice.
Seems like there would have been a trailer around like Monday Night Raw or something,
I could see that.
but I don't remember anything about this movie at all, so.
All right, so on Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, this one's sitting at about a 5 out of 10 rating. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'd probably give it like a 6 or a 7, honestly. But it's not a movie that's meant to be amazing, I don't think. It's a pretty straightforward slasher. Although we're gonna talk about this much more of a horror comedy than I remember.
Yeah, me too. I didn't remember trying to be that humorous.
And so yeah, that's probably fairly accurate. It's just a fun, quick movie. You know how you have those movies that are like favorites of yours and you're not really sure why? Because there's nothing like inherently different about them. You got what you got, and you like what you like type thing. Yeah, that's how I feel. That's kind of how
I thought you were asking a question, not making a statement.
I. No, I was.
Gotcha.
But that's just kind of
Yes,
how
I
I feel
do.
about that's just kind of how I feel about this movie.
Got it. Yeah, I think you said something cool there too, in the sense that not everything has to be a blockbuster profound thing. I was just talking to the director of the new movie Black Quarry for TBM Horror. And he had that same mentality with his movie. He was just like, we had fun making it. We want people to have fun watching it. And I think sometimes that's when the best art is made, is when you're just kind of having fun, goofing around, seeing what you can make.
Yeah, this would probably be something I would try to make if I was a filmmaker. So, yeah,
Right.
man.
I got one more, and I think this is probably the coolest production note that I have. If you watch the first three Hatchet movies in a row without the opening and the ending credits, they play out like consecutively, as if that boom, 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 begin and begin and begin and as if they were taking place over the span of a few days. So it's you could re really just watch these all in one sitting and be like one big movie.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you remind me, have you seen the sequels?
Oh man, I'm pretty sure I've seen two at one point in my life. I don't know if I've ever seen three or Victor Crowley.
Okay. So Victor Crowley is kind of a more standalone film with some ties to the other three, but one, two, and three like are very much tied to each other. Three is like a culmination of what occurs in one, two, and three, and characters that you saw in this one end up coming back. So it's actually a pretty like consistent franchise, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I just like that idea of that. I don't know how to describe it, like time and storytelling, where you can watch these all and they would feel like they take place over 3 days. Like a continuation.
Yeah,
I
that's
don't
what I
know
was
how to
saying. I was
describe
trying to find the word for that.
it.
That's why I said consistent. So that was the last production note.
That is the last production note. I don't have an outro to that one.
All right. Well, I want to you talked about the success, the slow crawl of this movie, and I do look online at like Wikipedia, and this is listed as a cult classic. Question for you, why do you think that is?
That's a good question. I would say it's probably something along the lines of what you and I talked about with it, as much as like the gore goes. We didn't really see too many movies that weren't, like low budget B movies having this amount of violence or the depiction of violence in them, like fountains of blood, people getting ripped in half, all that stuff. And I think on top of that too, you look at the cast of it. They had some big name horror people, Robert Englund, Tony Todd, Kane Hodder. So I think that probably has something to do with it as well. Other than that, I don't know why it stuck out to people.
Yeah.
No, I think it was because of the gore. I think when we rented it, it was because somebody was saying, like, oh, this is such a violent movie, or one of the most violent movies ever made, or it was something like that that sold people on it, or at least sold us on this thing.
Well, that's a very fine point to add on because I've been saying this to you in the days leading up to this recording. Terrifier, we were talking about, gets a lot of praise for gore, and just being so over the top, right? Which is deserved
Yes.
with that franchise, which is that's deserved, right? But I've been saying for the last few days, before there was Terrifier, there was Hatchet. 'Cause this franchise is like uber bloody, disgusting, and over the top. And I think that's an early, yeah, there was like torture porn and stuff in the 2000s, but this was like, for lack of better words, like just fun, over the top, ridiculous deaths. Like, oh God, what's the most absurd way that Victor Crowley is going to kill someone in this movie?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and you could definitely make the comparison from Hatchet to Terrifier. They're both super violent, but they also both have a comedic element to them. Like Terrifier is more funny in just how over the top it is, whereas Hatchet is more slapstick in your face with the ridiculous comedy.
Yeah, and I think it's also, this was 2006, 2007. There wasn't really a market for slashers at that time. That was like torture porn and like ghost stories and I don't know, like remakes. And I just looked at the poster for Hatchet, right? And I never knew what this tagline was for this movie. It's got the picture of the hatchet, and it says the title, and it says, it's not a remake, it's not a sequel, and it's not based on a Japanese one. Old school American horror.
That's pretty good.
So maybe that's it. Maybe this was an early forerunner in kind of bringing back the slasher craze before that actually happened.
Yeah, and I think the tagline says it all. That all of what it listed is what we were getting. We were getting torture porn. We were getting remakes of all the classic movies. We were getting The Ring and The Grudge and The Ring 2 and The Grudge 2. So, that's a pretty clever way to pitch this one.
Yeah. And I think right there, that actually sets the tone pretty perfectly for what you get for the movie. So yeah, I think that this one people have an affinity for and have it as a cult classic because it just was something we hadn't seen at the time. And it, again, I'm going to make the case that I think it actually blends comedy and horror pretty well, which was also not really a market at the time. Horror comedy wasn't really a thing. It had been, like in the 80s and stuff, but in the 2000s, everything was gritty and dark and serious.
When were the Scary Movie movies made? Probably late
The
90s.
first one, I think, was 2000.
Okay. So those were kind of floating around.
They were, and those weren't remakes, but they were just like straight up
Spoofs.
making, yeah. Those were just straight up
And
making fun of horror movies.
yeah, and I feel like those were just comedy movies. Like nobody was watching Scary Movie and being terrified.
I will,
And if you were, you'd probably have some issues.
I definitely do because I got scared by Scary Movie 3.
I was scared.
I'm not kidding you. Scary Movie 3, I saw that was the one that's making fun of The Ring. I saw that before I saw The Ring. So the stringy haired girl in that was making fun of The Ring actually kind of scared me.
Oh
So,
man, you actually saw Scary Movie 3 before you saw The Ring. That's impressive.
what
You
can
know,
I tell you?
I might be in that same camp because I didn't see The Ring for a while after it came out. Like, when did that come out? 99, 2000, something like that.
2002.
Yeah, I don't think I
Well,
saw it
wait,
till
you're
about
talking about the original or the American remake?
the American one.
Yeah, 2002.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that until like 05, 06, so I probably saw a scary movie or two
God, The Ring was
before I
a
saw The Ring.
God, The Ring was a horror movie that in middle school I was hearing like horror stories of people in my age group watching it.
Yeah, that was one of those ones that really kind of like Paranormal Activity just had that effect on the whole zeitgeist.
I was gonna
Like,
say it was kind of a cultural touchstone in horror at the time.
oh yeah, I mean, you see, who is it, Tamara? With the black hair and she's all wet and stuff.
Samara.
Samara, yeah, coming out of like.
Tamara is from a different horror movie. That's from The Strangers.
Yes. Dude, the one night my brother was watching The Strangers and he was up pretty late. And after it was over, he got this email from somebody named Tamara. He was like, dude, were you like fucking with me last night? I'm like, no. Why? He's
Oh
like, 'cause I
God,
watched The Strangers.
that's terrifying.
And. Yeah, he was like, I was watching The Strangers, and the girl in it's Tamara or whatever. And he was like, a little bit later that night, around 1 or 2 in the morning, I get an email from someone named Tamara. I'm like, all right, well, we're going to make sure the doors are locked from now on.
Is Tamara home?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Side
I
note,
need to see
Roy.
that again. I love that movie.
Oh, dude, it's so good. Side note, Roy and I last night were on the phone and going through IMDb's 100 scariest movies of all time. And The Strangers was one of them. I had high praise for that.
Oh yeah, dude, Strangers is great. Same with You're Next.
Oh yeah, Your Next is awesome. I feel like
I
we should
actually like
make
You're Next better.
that's tough to compare because they're both like completely different tones.
Fair enough. They came out
But
around the same time, similar premise. Family trapped, killers want to
yeah, that's all they need, right? But
Yeah.
yeah, I feel like we should make that a full episode reading that list because we did it pretty quickly last night. I feel like we should do a deep dive into that IMDb's 100 scariest movies of all time.
What are you doing next week?
I don't know. I guess we can work that in there. We can make that an episode. Because there was some stuff we definitely disagreed with.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, at this point, we will dive into Hatchet and do our plot walkthrough and talk about our thoughts. So, starting right out of the gate, Robert Englund cameo.
Yeah, I thought that was him, and then I looked it up because I don't know, it's just weird to see him without the Freddy makeup on. So I'm like, that's definitely Robert Englund, but I want to be sure. And he has a beard in this one too, so
Yeah, he's
made me
also
question it for a
speaking
second.
with a terrible southern drawl.
Sure, well, boy, a lot of people were.
Yeah, there's some bad accents in this movie. But Robert Englund and his son, I forget what Robert's character's name is, but he's a dad and his son Ainsley, and he are on a boat in the swamp of New Orleans, Louisiana. They are gator hunting, and they're just sitting on a boat, and there's a great jump scare with an alligator where Ainsley, the son, is trying to take a piss, and the gator jumps out from the water, and just immediately some weirdly comedic lines that just kind of come out of nowhere with Ainsley being like, "She tried to rip my sack off." That face right now.
Let me know when you want me to go on my tangent about the comedy in this movie.
There's another line right after where, like, they pull off to the dock, and Ainsley says, "Can we just pull over so I can finish my damn piss?"
Yeah, I mean, I can respect that line. I think we've all been in a place where we have to cut it off midstream and then resume it at a later time, and it sucks.
That hurts so bad.
It
But to
hurts.
cut off midstream.
What hurts me is if I like sneeze when I pee, it like hurts my whole body. Like, oh, it's bad. That's the bad kind of jolt.
Yeah, dude, it's like a burning sensation when you cut off midstream.
Kevin, you might want to go get yourself checked at the clinic.
Oh, come on, man. You know what I'm talking about.
Know if it's ever burned. It just feels kind of weird. Like stuff's going back up
Yeah,
inside you.
not like burning, like painful, but it's an irritation.
Mild discomfort, if you will.
I know what's being cut now. But anyway, there's so these two dudes, Robert Englund and Ainsley, they get ripped in half pretty much. Robert Englund's body is found. When he goes silent, he thinks he hears a gator, and he dies, which is funny that he's in the title credits because he's in this one scene and nothing more. And so he's found basically kind of ripped in half. And then something that we don't see comes up and kills Ainsley by just kind of basically ripping him apart.
Yeah.
Blood splattering on the tree everywhere. But
Okay.
I said, yeah, just Ainsley gets ripped in half and torn apart, and blood splatters all over the tree. And it's kind of disturbing because he's there getting ripped apart, and Ainsley's like, "It hurts." So, but then we cut to the credits, and yes, please, we have Marilyn Manson with an opening credit song. This is the
Oh,
new shit.
man.
This is one of my favorite Marilyn Manson songs.
Yeah, and strong opening too. You know, it sums up in 5 minutes what you're gonna get from this movie. You're gonna get ridiculousness and you're gonna get a gore fest.
Yep. And the credits are going. I forgot for a second that rest in peace to a legend, Mr. Tony Todd is in here.
Yeah, that was cool to see him.
But I really like the setting of this movie for it being New Orleans during Mardi Gras. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, we don't really see too many horror movies take place there. Didn't Candyman take place there, but it wasn't during Mardi Gras?
I don't remember. I haven't
Or
seen
no, that
Candy.
takes place in Chicago, I believe.
Yeah, it's definitely a city. I can't remember quite all the details though. But yeah, I kind of like that, we get this outrageous montage of Mardi Gras partying while Marilyn Manson plays, and just many shots of vomit and drunken debauchery and boobs and all sorts of stuff.
Did you know that all the vomit in this was real? He didn't, Adam Green didn't want to use fake vomit, so anytime you see somebody puke, that's real vomit.
Okay, well done, because later on there's a shot where two of our characters walk past a couple girls, one of them's vomiting, and it looks so real and so gross.
That's why.
Yeah. I feel
Need the
like
janitor to come sprinkle the sawdust.
but so we're introduced to Ben and Marcus, two buddies who are hanging out during Mardi Gras. Ben's been through like a breakup, and him and his buds came to Mardi Gras to kind of help get his mind off things. Apparently Adam Green has a cameo in here as buddy number one.
I did hear about that. He's one of the initial group.
So that's kind of cool, but he doesn't stay in the movie.
Isn't Isn't Ben an odd-looking guy? He looks like a thrift store Tom Green.
Oh, dude, you should. I looked at his picture on Google. I didn't even recognize him
Oh, really?
because he looks so different now.
Well, shit, I
So
guess this was 20 years ago.
I guess this is where we can start talking about the comedy, because a lot of comedic lines coming at you left and right between Marcus and Ben. Like, so Ben is not feeling Mardi Gras. He doesn't want to party. And he's asking Marcus, like, come on, man, you've seen enough boobs. And Marcus just gives him this jaw-dropping look. And then he's like, I want to go on this river cruise.
I've never seen enough boobs. There is no such thing. He
And
doesn't actually say that.
yeah, wouldn't be surprised though. But so Ben wants to get Marcus to go on this kind of not river cruise, but like a boat tour of the swamp in Louisiana. And he says, I believe to Marcus, you're going to be so psyched you did this. And Marcus says, I think I'd rather skin my own dick.
Yeah, he sure did.
The silence from you every time I say these lines is killing me.
They're just so, I mean, they're not even juvenile, they're just bad.
I was going to say, let's talk about the comedy here, because a lot of it comes from these two with their interplay. It is very, very childish, like middle school humor. But
God,
that
is
being
even that
said,
level?
a good chunk of it is kind of funny.
Oh my God, you thought so?
Yeah, I laugh when I watch this.
Oh.
There's some stuff that's definitely offensive for sure, but some of it is kind of stupid and funny.
Oh my God. See, so disclaimer, I woke up on Sunday and I'd gotten a decent amount of sleep and I was still tired. So I was already initially pissed off. And then I put this on and God, I like vulgar comedy, edgy comedy. Superbad's one of my favorite movies. I've seen probably every episode of Family Guy. I don't have a problem with this type of humor. I like it, but I like it when it's well written. This was just. Oh, it was just bad. Like, hey, here's a guy from Southeast Asia that speaks in a Cajun accent. Isn't that funny? That's the thing. It's like I could almost hear this movie speaking to me as it was playing out. Like, hey, this girl has crabs, so this guy doesn't want to bang her anymore. Isn't that funny? Hey, these girls that were making out actually hate each other. Don't you want to laugh? Like, oh, it was like the people, the characters in this were just insufferable.
Oh yeah, no, none of them are likable. They're all terrible stereotypes too.
I would describe it as real shitty American pie for like the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, so it's I have it written out. There's a bunch of stereotypical characters. So Ben and Marcus, they meet someone who I wish was in the movie a lot more, Tony Todd as he's the former boat tour guy, but he defers them to another boat tour, which you had to have laughed though when there's like that big build up though, right? With Tony Todd talking to Ben and Marcus about like, I don't do boat tours anymore, and it's because something terrible happened, and he's like, someone saw something creepy, he had his foot out, and he fell and got hurt, and then he sued me.
That was the one where if I was in a better mood, I may have gotten a chuckle out of, but I'm just like,
Yeah, again, it's stupid, but
I can appreciate the subversion of expectations on that one. You think it's going to be Tony Todd telling the story of how somebody got hacked to pieces by this masked killer, but really it's just a guy that fell and had an insurance claim against him. So
yeah,
I see what they were going for.
I think it's funny.
I probably respect that attempted humor way more than anything else.
I actually have a
And by the way, I'm no means a comedic genius. I've just listened to comedians that I know I
I
like and
actually have a I so I met Tony Todd at Silver Scream Con as well, and he had a lot of great headshots. The one I bought was shit, what's his character's name in this?
Is it like
Oh,
Voodoo Tour Guide number one?
No, he has a name.
He did have a cool outfit in this. I liked his costume.
Reverend Zombie.
Oh, that, I like that.
Yeah, so that's the headshot I have from him.
Whenever I met Wolf J. Flywheel, main guy from like Dawn of the Dead, you
Yeah.
know? Yeah, he had the headshots. He's like the only horror celebrity I've met, but he had headshots, and I'm actually looking at it right now. It's on my little shelf thing here. But yeah, I got him as Wolf J. Flywheel, and he's just has this ridiculous outfit, and he's in front of like this neon woman, like a stripper thing. And he gave me this awesome signature. That was really cool to meet him. He was such a good dude.
Oh, that's awesome. But yeah, our
Anyway,
character.
that's my one story about meeting a
There
horror celebrity. I
you
don't have any
go.
more.
Yes, you do, but we'll save that for later. celebrity question mark.
That guy's
Yeah,
wild.
I'm sure. So come on the podcast, Bill Z-Bub. So
Be
we.
careful what you wish for.
Yeah, no, I'm good. But no hate, but yeah, I've seen his filmography and I'm not into it.
Think I have one. Yeah, right here. Breaking Her Will.
Oh
Yeah, you
my
can pretty
God.
much guess what that's going to be about. As you
No
can
thank.
see, it's not quite opened yet. I'm building up to
Oh yeah, no thanks.
this
But so going back to Hatchet, yes. These characters are all stereotypes, and kind of most of them are insanely annoying. there's the straight man, which is Ben. There's the party guy, Marcus. There's the creep, which is this dude walking around with a video camera, just filming the two pretty girls.
Yeah, he's like, I thought that was supposed to be like a nod to the Girls Gone Wild stuff, because when we initially see him, those girls are topless and they're making out and he's filming it. It's like, oh, this is definitely like a Girls Gone Wild type guy.
Yep, and there's the promiscuous girls, the two that he keeps filming, and he does the same shot of them every single time. He's like, "All right, girls." And
Cinematography could use a little work.
it's just them flashing the camera and screaming woo or kissing each other.
I mean, I find that to be quality entertainment.
And there's the overly nice elders.
Oh yeah, the grounded for life, granddad.
They're basically just like in like nice to the point of absurdity.
Yeah, then they have those over the top Midwestern accents.
Yeah. And then
Like,
they're
oh, we're going on a boat tour. How you do? Or
yeah.
what do they say? Don't you know? I'm
Yeah,
fucking
they're
throwing out
like,
fields
"Oh,
right
gee, Williker, like this is a great
now.
tour."
Yeah.
Like that's how they talk. And then we have Sean, the tour guide, who is just doing a horrible Louisiana accent. But
it's
he,
just
again, he is quite funny throughout the movie. The accents are so offensive and so terrible, but his dialogue that he says is funny. And so yeah, and then we also meet one more character, Mary Beth, who's the silent we assume basically final girl.
Yeah, she's like the local Louisiana kid that grew up around there, so she knows more than like anybody else on this boat tour.
Yep. So they all get on
And
this.
she may or may not have a tie to Victor Crowley.
Yep. So they all get on this shitty boat to go up the river, or swamp or whatever they're sailing through. I have a note that just says, "This is me flirting," when Ben is kind of trying to hit on Mary Beth.
Oh God,
When he's like,
awful.
"Mary
I
Beth."
like your jacket.
No. No, even before that, Mary Beth, it's a great name. It's a great name because it's two names. Most people just have one name, and that's kind of boring.
Dude needs to go to what do they call it? Like player school or whatever. He
Yeah.
needs to sign up for one of those online classes.
Yeah. And then
I'm going to show
immediately
you how to
followed
talk
by.
to girls and get laid 100 times.
I actually played a game on my Xbox 360 back in the day that was Don't Be Nervous Talking to Girls.
Did it work?
No, the girl, I watched a gamer play it back in the day on YouTube, and I was like, I want to play this not by myself, but just for like a party with my friends. because the girl is like insanely mean in the game. Like you say hi to her and she's like, "Hi, that's the best you can do."
Oof. Ball breaker.
But yeah, so I relate, Ben, but yeah, the smash cut to two names is great. Anyway, I like your jacket. It's so funny. And then Marcus is just always giving him mean mugs and looking shocked.
If I did have to pick a character that I liked in this, I would go with Marcus.
Okay. Again, it's around this time that I wrote definitely more of a horror comedy than I remember, because there's the scene where Sean is driving them on the bus to go to the boat, and he picks up this like intercom that would reach the whole bus, but there's only like eight people on the bus. So Marcus is like,
Yeah, it's
"Hey."
like a mini bus.
Yeah, he's like, "Hey man, you don't have to use that. This thing's tiny." And he's like, "Oh yeah, you're right." So again, it's stupid humor, but it's definitely a product of the 2000s.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
There's th this is what humor was in the 2000s, is just make direct, not clever jokes and just throw them at the wall.
That's a great way to describe it. Not clever jokes.
They're not
Do
clever. They're just stupid, and they're offensive, and they're just ridiculous.
This reminded me of a movie that I watched just a couple years ago, and I'm not sure why. It's about these two teenagers. It's one of those like road trip American Pie type movies that came out in 2008, so definitely even dated by that point. But they're on this road trip and they meet these Amish people. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's called like Amish Trip or something like that. God, well, the humor in that reminded me of the humor in this.
Okay.
I'll have to find out what it is. I don't know why, but they end up with all these Amish guys and they're partying and stuff. I don't know. Move on. I defer.
Okay. Also, speaking of something that I don't know if it was supposed to be funny or just a gross out moment, they get to the swamp and they're loading up on the boat, and there's like a hermit that's yelling at them to say, "Don't go there," kind of like the Crazy Ralph character from Friday the 13th. And he's like, "Oh yeah, that's just the hermit there. You know, he's just kind of crazy, drinks his own piss." And then they immediately, like, when they ignore him and leave, it actually shows the hermit drinking piss out of a jug.
Yeah, like one of those hospital things that you piss in.
Yeah, don't know if that was supposed to be funny or just a gross out moment.
Couldn't tell you.
But he literally drinks the piss and is like, "Oh yeah." It's like the guy in Wrong Turn that's at the gas station, and he's like a southern, like, kind of hillbilly character, and he's drinking Pepto-Bismol.
Well, that I can relate to.
So yeah, then
I
we
cannot
get,
relate to drinking piss.
well, that's good. But then yeah, they go on the boat tour, and Sean is terrible at his job, so he's reading from cue cards. And getting all the stories wrong. And at one point he's telling this bad pirate story, and the pervert with the camera is just like, "That's a stupid story." And Sean just goes, "Fine." And then it's kind of an immediate jump cut to horror, because right around when he says fine, he turns the lights on and Victor Crowley's there in the darkness, and the lights shine on him for just a second and he runs away.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring up Wrong Turn. Victor Crowley kind of reminded me of a combination between Jason Voorhees and one of the Wrong Turn guys.
So yeah, that's fair. Which is very fitting, because Victor Crowley is played by Kane Hodder.
And he also plays Victor Crowley's dad in the flashback.
Yeah, that was nice. Which also, Kane Hodder, I was super intimidated to meet at last year's Mad Monster, and he is a total sweetheart.
Nice.
Not helping with the intimidation. He was coming out of a photo op. And I was waiting in line for a different photo op, and he walked past me and made some joke just like out loud, and I heard it and I chuckled, and he gave me a little like buddy shove from behind, but I wasn't expecting it, and Kane Hodder is incredibly strong, so it literally almost like knocked me over. And I later went to his table to meet him and told him that, and he's like, "Well, here." And he makes me sit down behind his table, take a picture with him, and he puts his head up against my fist.
That's pretty cool.
And he's like, "See, now you got me back."
Now you punch Jason.
Yeah, right. And he also, my mom was making fun of me for something in front of him, and he's like, "That's not nice." And she's like, "I'm his mom." And he goes, "That doesn't matter." And I said, "This is my new best friend over here."
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, Kane Hodder is very, very cool.
I
But
almost went to his table when I met Wolf J. Flywheel.
oh, dude, you definitely meet Kane Hodder if you get the chance. He is a total teddy bear.
Okay, I will next time. He'll be my one celebrity I meet when I go to another
Yeah.
convention in 10 years.
There you go. But yeah, I kind of, so if the comedy is not working for you, is the horror working when they start getting into the story? Kind of a slow build, where they crash the boat and then Mary Beth slowly starts to reveal the local legend of Victor Crowley. Is this working for you as a horror movie?
No, because I knew exactly where it was going the entire time. Like, oh, she's gonna have some tie to Victor Crowley. She's gonna reveal the story. It's gonna be your typical, oh, he got burned alive and killed by his dad by accident. I'm just like, yeah, we
Is
know. Get
that
on with it.
typical for you in a horror movie that
It's
some
typical in
kid
my
got hacked up with a hatchet by accident?
life.
Okay. Which we should also confirm, her only tie is that Victor Crowley's the one who killed her brother and her dad at the beginning. Those were
Right.
her family.
Yeah, so she's gonna have the vendetta, she's gonna be the last one standing. Everyone else is cannon fodder. Let's get to the kills.
But yeah, so then we get the kind of one of the grandfather character or the old man from the couple got bit by an alligator.
Oh, that's right.
So he's hurting, and this is where they decide what they need to do to get out of the swamp because the boat crashed and sank. And this is where Mary Beth tells the story, and I like this flashback. This is why I mentioned that it was a Halloween movie because Victor was killed on Halloween night.
Okay. I did like this flashback.
And great makeup. So the story is Kane Hodder plays both Victor's dad as in the flashback, and he plays adult Victor. But the
It's like
dad and
the grandfather paradox. If you go back in time and kill your grandfather, would you still exist to kill your grandfather? You ever
yep,
hear that?
I have. But yeah, so Victor Crowley was born deformed, and he and his dad just kind of kept to themselves. And on Halloween night, a couple kids wanted to try to scare Victor out of the house to get a look at him, and the house burned down because they threw like firecrackers and like almost Molotovs at the house.
I
That
was
was
gonna
kind
say, I thought it
of
was Molotov for some reason.
yeah, that was kind of fucked up, or not kind of, that was
Yeah,
pretty fucked up. And then
we'll get him out of the house by burning it down. I mean,
yeah,
it
so but he couldn't get
get the
out of the
same
house.
result.
Jesus. But he couldn't get out of the house, so the dad started chopping at the door, and he ended up accidentally killing Victor because Victor was pressed up against the door. And Victor haunts the swamp now. And his dad died, lonely and heartbroken. And this is what you're here for. The last, like, this is like almost to the minute halfway through the movie is where the kills come in. Like, aside from the opening two kills.
Yeah, I think it was started at like the 40-minute mark, 50-minute mark. So you get a solid half hour of the violence.
And kind of a great reveal with the house where there was a fake house that the tour guide Sean was like, "No, you like, I told you the house is back there." And she's like, "That wasn't the house because that is." And then it just smash cuts to they're right by it. Kind of, again, I think the setups for the scares before Victor Crowley shows up are pretty terrifying. And then they don't. There's no build, nothing. They approach this house, and I actually think the ghostly moans of Victor crying for his daddy are pretty terrifying.
Yeah. It's not the worst part of this movie.
I'm interested to see what that is in your mind, but
I already said it, just the first 50 minutes.
you must have really been tired when you watched this.
I was so angry. Like Look, I don't sleep much, so I slept for like 8 hours on Sunday. I'm like, man, I'm gonna go in there, rearing to go. I'm gonna watch this movie, bang out a bunch of stuff. I get there, I'm just dragging. I'm like, fuck. And then it's like I put this movie on, and people are screaming about dicks and shitting themselves.
I call for a re-record where I'm just kidding, where you weren't pissed off about the movie.
Well, we gotta catch a rare day there.
Like, yeah, let's not blame the movie because you slept too long. But
I take my
let's
anger out on anything and
I
anyone.
know. There is a part also that made me laugh though, just before Victor appears, where the pervert guy is like, please tell me this is part of the tour, and the guy go and Sean, the tour guide, goes, oh yeah, I sink the boat every night. It's hilarious.
Right.
That also makes me laugh. But I know what you're here for, Roy. Let's get to some kills. So after the ghostly moans, Victor just runs out. There's no build up, nothing.
That's true. Yeah. Like
Like,
full sprint towards them.
he just runs out of the house, roars, and then he attacks the elderly man. He basically hacks away at his shoulder.
And then hacks him in half diagonally. I forgot that happened.
Yep. And lots of blood there. And then he rips the old woman, he rips her face open.
Yeah. Oh, here's a cool fact that there was no CGI used in this other than to edit out cables or equipment, stuff like that. All of what you're seeing was actually there. There was no CGI in the effects, so these looked awesome
They did.
for not having any assistance from computers or anything. Like really cool kills.
Yeah. And I think that the gore level would have been toned down, obviously, but I think this movie could have come out in like the 80s.
Yeah. And speaking of the gore, there's actually an extended cut. I don't think it's the one on Tubi where there is an added 60 seconds of gore throughout the movie.
Weird. All right. Well, there's, yeah, I'm not sure I need that. This movie again
Really?
wastes, yeah, this movie wastes no time, dude. It's like 80 minutes with just flawless pacing.
You think so?
Yeah, dude, I'm never bored when I watch this.
Oh, I was just thinking the pacing was off.
No, it's the first half is just story build up, and then the second half is just brutal deaths.
See, I was thinking had they spaced out some of the kills or given us a little bit more throughout, it would have helped with the pacing. So, because a lot of times leading up to the, outbreak of Victor Crowley, it just feels like you're watching a comedy movie, and maybe that's intentional. You want to be put in that safe spot. Forgetting that there's a slasher on the loose. But I mean, two or three kills leading up to this, I think could have benefited it.
Well, I'm also not a gore hound, so I see the rapid fire string of deaths as more of like a payoff to the storytelling.
But is it worth
I think so. Again, I like the urban legend
it?
stuff, so yeah, then we just kind of rock through the kills. It's basically just set them up, knock them down at this point.
Yeah.
The pervert Shapiro, who I have no idea why they included this as a subplot, because it just served nothing. But the reveal that he's not actually a director,
Yeah, he's just a
that did not need to be there.
weirdo. Just for the private collection.
Yeah, that like it's like a focused spotlight scene. And it had no reason to be there other than to just like, we don't need character development here.
Everyone will.
And it's mostly played for laughs because the blonde girl Misty is like, I can't believe I've fallen for this 3 times.
Think she gets it pretty good, doesn't she?
She gets killed off screen, so I'm not sure.
Oh, does it? I thought one of the girls, like, her
Oh,
bloody
no.
torso just gets chucked at someone.
No, it's her head.
Oh, it's her head?
Yeah, so Shapiro gets his head spun around.
Okay, yeah.
Like very grueling. That was pretty painful to watch, but he was also a pervert, so I didn't really care that he died. And then Sean got killed by the shovel.
That was cool. I did like that.
Victor Crowley just swung the shovel and took off both his legs and then curb stomp the shovel to take his head off.
That was fucking brutal.
And then the dark-haired girl's the one that had probably the worst death. She got a sander to the mouth.
Yeah, that's what it was. Oh.
And not only did she get that, so her mouth got sanded away, she also got impaled on the shovel.
Yeah. Dude, just think about a sandpaper just going that fast straight to your mouth. Oh.
So can I ask you a kind of like fucked up question?
Yes.
There's a couple more deaths here. Really, there's only one left. Marcus dies later, which he gets caught by Victor in a bear hug, and Victor rips his both his arms off,
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
and then he smashes his torso body like against a stone, like a headstone, and it just like explodes. So I want to ask you, I'll just be fucked up for a second. If you have to be in this movie and you have to die one of these ways, which death would you want?
Definitely not the sandpaper to the mouth, because that would
Nope.
be awful. I would probably go with, I mean, the neck twisting, that would be the quickest and probably the most painless.
I don't think so. The way they shot it, it was like slow and grueling.
Yeah, but I mean, after that initial crack, how much can you really feel? I mean, I think it would be cool to go out with getting my arms ripped off and exploded on a rock.
See, I feel like I'd probably want to have the shovel.
Curb stomp by
Yeah. Like,
the
yeah, it's gonna be scary for a minute, but then it's over. Just a, like two swings of the shovel and it's done.
And you got to think if he cracks you with it, you're probably immediately knocked out.
Yeah, I'm grasping at fucked up straws here, Roy, because you sound so disinterested in this movie.
Hey, we're at the part now where I like.
All right. There is one more death, but it's not real. Oh no, there's two more deaths. Yeah, Misty, the blonde girl, she was keeping watch when they went back to get the gasoline to try to burn Victor with.
And that's her head that gets chucked out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Victor just throws it at Ben.
Here, have a head.
So decapitation, and then Ben also dies later, but you don't see him actually die. You just see him with his arm ripped off.
I was gonna say, did he die or did he just get like really badly hurt?
Well, he doesn't come back for the sequels, so.
Oh, well, I guess he fucking bit it.
It is still pretty comedic here because Victor just keeps dying. Like, he has his first reveal, they shoot him a couple times, he dies. He comes back, and there's one part that is so absurd where I think it's Marcus, Mary Beth, and Ben are arguing over what to do. And Mary Beth says, "We gotta go that way." And as soon as she points at the direction they need to go, Victor just pops into frame.
Well, don't they try to burn them too?
Yeah, they do,
But then
which is also ridiculous because it starts raining.
just for like 5 seconds to put them out.
And they're like, "Son of a bitch." And she's like, "This bought us time. Don't waste it."
That
Yeah,
was a good fake out because I did think at that point they were going to burn them up and, at least buy themselves some time. I didn't expect it to start raining. So I'll give them points for that one.
that was just funny though, that immediately as soon as they burn him, like it just randomly starts thundering and lightning and raining.
I mean, even if you did burn him, he is like a ghost, right? So it only put him out for a little bit.
Yeah, but I think their plan is if they can get him down long enough and then get out of the swamp, he won't follow them.
Okay.
Because he haunts the swamp specifically.
Gotcha. He's not going to follow you home.
Yeah. I will say probably the most disturbing death in a Hatchet franchise comes in Victor Crowley.
Okay.
Like it's the one I absolutely would not want. Is somebody there, it's a group of people, also Felissa Rose is in that too, which is awesome. And they're flying in a plane and the plane crashes in the swamp. And one of the people on the plane get like their seat falls out of place and gets like pinned backwards to the floor. So like
Okay.
there's but their seatbelt is stuck. So they're
All
stuck
right.
in their seat laying on their back on the floor of the plane. And the plane crashed in a swamp and the water's just slowly leaking in the whole movie. And that's they
Okay.
don't even die by Victor Crowley. The water just seeps in and drowns them because they can't get out of their seat.
Oh, shit. So is that the whole movie? It's them in the plane?
Yeah, that's kind of where they hide, is in the plane, and Victor keeps attacking, so it's like a siege movie.
Damn. Is it a comedy? That sounds pretty horrifying.
I've only seen Victor Crowley once, so I don't quite remember. They all have comedic elements, but they do get a little more serious. I know the hermit dies in the beginning of the second one.
Piss drinker.
Yeah, he gets his intestines ripped out, and Victor Crowley strangles him with his own intestines till his head pops off.
Okay. I
And
like
then
that.
there's a couple in part two that are fucking, and the guy is,
Making love, Kevin. Let's keep it classy here.
yeah, whatever.
I'm a
But
man of romance.
sure you are. But the dog collars and all, right?
What?
But the guy is having sex with the girl from behind. She's on all fours, and Victor swipes his head off with the hatchet, and his body just keeps fucking.
You told me about this,
And she's
yeah.
like, "Oh, easy." And then she realizes that it's a headless corpse of her boyfriend, and she doesn't get to put her pants on or anything. And Victor gives her the hatchet up the hoo-ha.
It's like the Cannibal Corpse song, Fucked with a Knife.
So bad.
God, that would hurt. There's a lot
There's
of nerve
a
endings.
but case in point on the yeah, case in point on the weird comedy in that is before they both die, they're having sex, and she's like, "Oh, did you miss that?" Because they were like broken up. And he's like, "No, I'm getting married. Like, I love this other girl," and we never see the other girl. And
Oh,
she's
really?
just yeah, she's just trying to seduce him again. So they end up having like, an affair hookup, and she's like, "Do you miss that?" And she's like, "How much did you miss that?" And she's like, "You like that more than chocolate cake?" He's like, "Yeah, sure. You like this more than Jesus?" And he goes, "Huh?" She's like, "You like this more than baby Jesus?" And he's like, "Babe, that's not appropriate." And then the death scene happens. So all of the Hatchet movies are just insane.
I just don't get well, I guess I was gonna say I don't get who this comedy is for. I guess you enjoy
As I'm sitting over here cackling, listen, it's stupid. Some of it is very dated, unfortunately. There's some stuff in this first Hatchet even that is very, very dated and offensive from the 2000s, which I did not like. But I don't know, the childish humor that comes in every once in a while just doesn't bother me.
is childish.
So this movie also has a really abrupt ending too,
Yeah, it does. I was like,
where,
go ahead.
oh, come on, you had to have liked when Ben got the rod thrown in his foot and they have to push it through his foot to impale Victor when he runs at him.
Yeah, I liked the violence in this movie. It was everything else that was meh.
Also, Victor like spits in Ben's mouth like twice for some reason.
Started to get hot.
He just bleh, like belches at him when he gets impaled, and he's on top of him and like drools inside his mouth. It's so gross.
Dude, we had a Great Dane that would always drool like that, and when he would shake, his spit would go everywhere, so you had to like be careful that didn't
Ew.
happen.
And then, did you get fooled thinking that they'd actually killed him, or were you not surprised when it was Victor that pulls her up out of the water?
No, I wasn't surprised.
And then, yeah, Victor, yells at the camera, and it just, that's it.
Very an ending very reminiscent of the first Friday the 13th when Jason pulls the girl out of the canoe. Let me ask you this. As far as slasher horror movie villains go, where do you think Victor Crowley ranks?
What's the ranking, like tiers?
I don't know. Just like would you consider him top tier, mid tier, bottom tier?
No, I would probably say like mid tier, like B level.
Okay.
I don't think he's an icon.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's more of a cult classic, so maybe I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, he's not, if it's like icon B and then bottom of the barrel, you don't have to scrape to find it and hear things about it, but you need to be in the horror realm to know about Hatchet.
Yeah, I feel like when it did come out though, it was, or at least when it was released on home video, a lot of people did know about it. I mean, look how much money it made, and we knew about it. And I mean, we would rent horror movies, but we were never like in the fandom of it, you know what I mean? And we knew about it.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say this is a solid like B horror movie. Not like B as in like even more niche B horror, but just like mid tier. Like if you dive a little deeper, you'll probably run into Hatchet.
Yeah, I mean, I've met people who know what it is, and I'm just like, oh yeah, those movies are out there.
Yeah.
And all three, I think all four of them are on Tubi if you want to have a marathon.
Yeah, well, I'd be down to do it, but I don't think you would.
I was actually thinking about watching all three the night I watched the first one, and then I had to tap out after the first one.
Well, you've had like 2 weeks off, so you can watch Hatchet 2 now.
Yeah, I've had 2 weeks off.
Since you watched it, because we were supposed to record it like over a week ago.
Oh no, I just watched it on Sunday.
Oh, you watched it again?
I didn't watch it the first time. That's probably a good thing we had to cancel.
Okay, well, that's
Well,
it
no,
for.
I think you gave me enough heads up that
Oh,
I
that you
was
didn't
like,
know, you hadn't watched it
yeah,
already? I thought
I
you
was
had already
gonna,
watched it.
no, I think I said I was gonna watch it, and then I was like, well, I'll just watch it Friday night and we'll record Saturday, and then I think Thursday you're like, hey, I can't do Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm sure all of our listeners love hearing about our schedules.
Yeah, right. That's what they come to this show for, but
Well, I got dinner on Wednesday.
yeah. But
Speaking
yeah,
of
so
just awful
that's
humor.
it fits right in.
Yeah.
But that's Hatchet. I don't know, man. It's stupid and it's over the top and it's ridiculous and dated, but I still get a lot of enjoyment out of this. It's just turn your brain off for like 80 minutes and just see some cool storytelling and some brutal kills.
Yeah, it's.
And you know what this actually has that you'll see if you continue the franchise is they bring in even more horror celebrities.
Oh, that's cool.
Tony Todd comes back, Kane Hodder's still in there. The Mary Beth character is played by Daniel Harris in 2 and 3.
Rumpelstiltskin makes an appearance.
I wish.
I want to put it past it.
But yeah, so I like this movie. I like this franchise. It's just fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a market for it. Obviously, like we talked about, the humor didn't hit with me, and unfortunately, that was three quarters of the movie. I did like the violence. I thought the kills were great. The effects were amazingly done. But I mean, I'll probably watch this again. There's something like every 10 years, somebody's like, "Well, let's watch what well, let's watch." Every 10 years, somebody is like, "Let's watch Hatchet." Boy, try saying that. Let's watch Hatchet. It's tough.
I
But
like the
yeah, I
way you're
mean,
enunciating that.
I
Let's watch Hatchet.
need to go back to my journalism days. Red leather, yellow leather. Park the car.
That's like I had my friends over the weekend do the tongue twister toy boat. You just try to say that over and over again.
Tongue twister, toy boat.
Yeah, you just say toy boat over and over again.
Oh, toy boat, toy boat, toy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Your jaw like just drops down the more you try to do it.
Blah.
Or a secret squirrel.
Secret squirrel. Secret squirrel. So I can never say squirrel to begin with, so I'm doubly out. No,
Well,
but I think overall, like, I was hard on it. I'd probably give it like a 4, or I'd agree with like the Rotten Tomatoes 5, somewhere around there. Because it shot well. I could hear everything. It's cool to see some of the big name horror actors in there. So I'd probably give it like 4, 5, somewhere around there.
A
Like
for effort.
I've seen shit that's a straight zero. You know, it's shot on a potato. There's no mics. Like that's real bad. This was just bad comedy, and you know, everything else other than that, it was a movie.
All right, well, enough said on that one. So, do you have any horror news for us?
I do have horror news. These first two stories. They come from bloodydisgusting.com. I always like to cite my sources. All right, so I sent this photo to you. I think I sent it to our group, but they found the original photo that was used at the end of The Shining, you know, where you see Jack Nicholson waving and it's Overlook Hotel Bowl 1921. They traced that down, a retired academic did, to the Getty Images Holton Archive. The photo was taken at a Valentine's Day ball in 1921 at the Royal Palace Hotel in London. The guy that Jack Nicholson was superimposed over, or at least his face, that was a London dancer. And Jack Nicholson is the only person who was doctored up in the photo. Everyone else in it was as original. So I thought that was a pretty cool piece of not just film history, but history in general.
Yeah, I always forget about that's a real photo that they used.
Yeah, it's wild. I never knew it was lost. And then I'm like, oh, they found it.
Well, I had assumed that if they had access to it, then it wasn't lost, but that's interesting, and that is still an iconic kind of creepy photo.
I mean, it just sets off a whole bunch of different questions at the end of that movie.
Yep. Well,
All
that's
right.
cool.
Yeah. So next up, we have Predator, Killer of Killers. It is a three-part animated anthology that showcases, I can't pronounce the predator species name, but those warriors are hunting human prey across global history. It'll premiere as a Hulu exclusive on June 6th, 2005. So, new Predator miniseries. It's animated. Almost reminds me, do you remember in the mid-2000s they came out with something similar called the Animatrix?
Yep.
Yeah. That was
Only the
wild.
boy, the Predator franchise has really had a resurrection in the last few years between there being a Predator video game and The Predator and Prey and now stuff like this.
I have lost track of this franchise. I didn't even know Prey was a Predator movie until like 5 minutes before we started recording. I was scrolling on Instagram and somebody was talking about it. I'm like, oh, no way.
Yeah, there's franchise-wise, there's Predator, Predator 2, Predators, The Predator, and then Prey, I believe.
Man. Now I know about Predators, Predator 2 I've seen. What's the Predator?
It was a movie from 2018 that was like weirdly comedic. It was written by like Shane Black, who's like a well-known comedy writer, had some horror roots, I think. Or was trying to dip his toe into that or something. And yeah, just a weird entry into the Predator franchise that came out in 2018.
Interesting.
I don't know if it did well. A lot of people saw it and people had like mixed opinions on it.
Yeah, I'm only familiar with the first two Predator movies. And obviously the first one I love.
Yeah, I'm not big on Predator 2, but I know Marcus and Luke from Review to Death really love it, and they've been encouraging me to try to go give it another rewatch.
I saw Predator 2 one time when I was pretty little. I remember watching it in my grandparents' basement. It's like detectives tracking Predator through LA, right? Yeah. Yeah. I should revisit that franchise because I'll watch the original Predator like once a year. Should
Question
watch new
for
ones.
you. Do you consider Predator a horror movie?
Yeah, I would. I think it's a very action-heavy horror movie, but
Okay.
there's
Well,
definitely
I would hope so, 'cause you put it
good
in
point.
your top 10. I remember that as soon as I asked that, but I've talked to
Yes.
some people who debate about it being a horror movie and I'm like, "No, I actually think it is."
Yeah, it has enough elements to be a horror movie instead of like an action sci-fi movie. If you think about it, these group of soldiers could be like a group of teenagers. They're still being hunted and stalked by something way more powerful than them that wants to kill them.
Yeah,
So I think just in that sense, it's a
it's
horror
like
setup.
some people have debated is Terminator horror, and I'm like, the first one is.
Yeah. Yeah, Terminator is a little bit more weird because it does lean a lot into the sci-fi. I would consider the first one like a light horror movie.
Well, the first one I would consider a horror movie, but it's sci-fi horror in that way. But if you just took out the sci-fi element, you would basically have a Friday the 13th movie.
That's true. Yeah, because Arnold's tracking Sarah Connor all over the city. Where's Sarah Connor?
Yeah, you would have a Friday the 13th movie or a Halloween movie or something. And then T2, they do away with that, and that is 110% an action movie.
Action blockbuster.
So.
All right, we have two horror movies, pretty big names that are out now. We have The Woman in the Yard, and we have Drop. So I want to give you some numbers here. The Woman in the Yard right now, it has about a 40 to 50% in the ratings department. It had a $12 million budget, and as of now, it has made $20 million at the box office. So, what, it needs about $4 million more
To be
to
to
break
make a
even.
profit or something.
Yeah, I think you have to double it to make a profit.
Yeah. So not too bad, but I haven't seen it. I actually don't even know anyone that's seen it, but I do want to see it. And then Drop, I don't know anything about. I just started hearing people mention it, saying it was amazing.
Oh God, I wanted to see it the first time I saw a preview for it, and then I've seen the preview for it like five more times, and now I'm just like God. But Woman in the Yard, yeah, I've seen stuff scrolling on Instagram, people talking about it. Seems to be their opinion too, like 40, 50%. A lot of people seem let down or disappointed by it, which is unfortunate to hear because I was looking forward to that one. I still need to see it.
Yeah, I hope to see it at some point. Drop, I will see. I'll have to look into it. On that note, there's another movie coming out this weekend that hopefully I'm not stepping on your toes, but as we're talking about new horror movies coming out, one that I am super excited for, Sinners.
Oh yeah, like the 1930s bootleggers.
Yeah, with Michael B. Jordan, directed by Ryan Coogler. I couldn't tell from the first trailers what this movie even really was about, but it's now people are kind of saying that it's a vampire movie.
Oh really? I thought it was like a
And
devil movie.
see, I thought it was zombies.
Oh jeez, it might be all three. Might be none.
So we might be wrong. Maybe it's not a, I don't know, but it
It's
seems like the
aliens.
last trailer did show that it's a vampire movie and it looks amazing.
Yeah, it did look really good.
I think that might be a sleeper hit this year.
Yeah, because until I saw The Monkey, I hadn't really heard anything about it, and that was the first time hearing anything.
Yeah. So I wonder then if Sinners will be a kind of breakaway hit this year. It looks good, and everybody that I see the trailer with says the same, that they think it's going to be great. So
Yeah.
looks
It's
kind of
definitely one
artsy
to
too.
keep
It's
your eye
like
on.
over 2 hours long too, I think.
Ooh, well.
Not a lot, but it's like probably 2 hours and a couple minutes, but I'm excited, so.
Yeah, it does look like a really good movie. So we'll definitely keep an eye out for that. But Drop, let me give you the numbers for Drop.
Okay.
It opened, I forget when I took these notes. So I have it opened
You took
last
them in your
weekend,
sleep.
basically. So it recently opened, we'll say that. It's was made for $11 million, and it's already made $10 million back. So it's on a good spot to be. It's at a good spot to be profitable. And looking at the ratings, the average is about 70%. So people seem to be digging Drop.
All right, cool. Well, I'm gonna have to check that out then. Yeah, I'm glad to see horrors going strong in the theater this year. There's been a lot.
It seems like it's been nonstop this year compared to other years.
Yeah,
Like every month there's two or
something
three
every
coming out.
month, yeah. And
When does Until Dawn come out?
end of this month, I think.
That one looks good too.
Yeah.
It's too much. I can't keep up.
Well. You keep on just see what we can.
Yeah.
I think Hard Eyes still remains my favorite that I've seen so far this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I would go with that. I think I've seen the Wolfman, Hard Eyes, and the Monkey.
So have I.
Look at that.
So
If
we both have to
we didn't live
see.
like 10 hours apart, we could go together.
Yeah, we both have to see the same. Since we can't be together, we both have to see the same horror movie. Every month.
We're with each other in spirit,
We
is
are. We
we
are.
are.
I have a picture of you on my phone that sits in my chair next to me.
I was gonna say I actually do buy two tickets, and I just put a piece of paper that says Kevin on the
Yeah.
seat. I'm like, what's
I
up, man?
have one for my date.
Yeah.
It for horror news?
That is it for horror news. There may be other horror news out there, but you won't hear it from me.
At least not maybe until the next episode.
That is true. Sometimes I have to dig and get some old news stories and act like they're new.
And also, as we are putting this out, I plan to have this out on the 20th. We will be approaching the release of our good friend Viggy Parhampton's new book, The Rotting Room, on April 23rd. So that's also some horror news right there. D.R. Kane also released his conclusion to his Makers of Darkness storyline. So please go support our friends and go pick up their new works and give them lots of love.
I actually just got Viggy's book, M Much Too Vulgar, in the mail over the weekend, so I'm looking forward to starting that. I have to finish this book on Edgar Allan Poe I'm reading. Fascinating guy.
Yeah, I think people might have heard of him.
Oh, why did I phrase it? Did I phrase it
Like,
like people didn't know who he
yeah,
was?
you're like, I'm reading a book on Edgar Allan Poe. Fascinating guy.
He was. I mean, I he has this image where he's just like this dark, brooding, gothic guy, but there's way more to him.
Have you ever seen the movie from 2012, The Raven?
I have heard about that. I have not seen it.
Dude, it's John Cusack as Edgar Allan Poe, and it's like a there's like a killer going around his living area that is killing people in the style of murders from his books.
Oh, that's cool.
And he goes to uncover it, and it actually kind of ties into like pretty outlandish, but something of a theory about his death. Like it ties into his real life death by the end.
It's so weird. Nobody's like 100% sure how he died. They just said what was like confusion, conjecture. So it's a book all about like his death, but it also was a bit a biography on his life too. So it's
It's
pretty
cool.
cool just to hear about all this different stuff and that and more about that time period of the early to mid 1800s.
But yeah, no, the movie, you know how it says like in his death he was calling out some name?
Oh yeah, he was looking for his friend, but nobody knew who it was.
Or was it a friend? In the movie they actually tie into like they create a story as to why he's saying that.
Oh, I want to see this now.
So check it out. We'll have to do that as a movie pick sometime soon. It's actually a pretty underrated period piece flick.
Yeah, maybe once I finish this book, I'll throw it on.
Sure. All right, man. Well, speaking of books and stories and interesting characters, where can people check out some R. Jacob Honeybrook writing?
Oh, well, if you love Edgar Allan Poe, you're gonna love I'm not even gonna compare
R.
myself. Get the
The
fuck out
only
of here.
the comparison I'll make there, I think they're both equally as good, but the comparison I'm going to
Oh,
make there
why,
is that they're
thank
both
you.
interesting characters.
Oh, there you go. That's
Interesting guys.
even more accurate. You can find me over on Instagram at author underscore Honeybrook. There you can see all the stuff I post. And you can find a link tree to my books. They are all on Amazon. There are five of them, all just 99 cents. Also, check me out over on tbmhorror.com. There I have my weekly column, R. Jacob's Honeycuts. Talk about movies we discuss on here, give a little more of my thoughts. Also, have interviews with other horror authors, directors, some bands in there. So we do a little bit of everything over there. I feel like I'm forgetting one more thing. Instagram, Amazon, TBM Horror. I think I'm good. Midnight Terrors, check us out anywhere you can stream podcasts. You know, I was on James' podcast over the weekend and I did have to pitch out Midnight Terrors in my plugs. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, when I'm
Kevin
not
usually
there.
handles this.
When I'm not there, you gotta do it.
I'll just call you next time. Hey Kevin, I'm on this podcast. Can you give the plugs for Midnight Terrors?
Well, stay tuned because you'll probably quite possibly perhaps be hearing a very, very familiar Australian voice on Midnight Terrors. That's all I'm saying.
Good eye, mate.
But that's it. Roy, thank you for joining me for this discussion. And thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to get in touch with the Midnight Terrors Podcast, you can find us on Facebook under Midnight Terrors Podcast. You can shoot us an email at midnightterrorspodcast@gmail.com. Send us your movie picks, your topic recommendations, and just your thoughts on the show or anything you want to see on it. We would love to hear from you. You can check out our Linktree Midnight Terrors Podcast, which has our T Public store on it, if you want to pick up some merch. And also, you can join our Facebook group, also called Midnight Terrors Podcast, where you can talk horror with us and our friends and family. It's a good time. And we will be back very, very soon with more episodes. And thank you, everybody, for your support, your love for the show. We love y'all and we appreciate you more than we can say. So we will see you again very, very soon. This is the Midnight Terrors Podcast. Peace.